Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're going to go to the phones right now. So State Senator Sam Gavan represents part of the state from the Huntsville region. Is just known for being one of the more conservative members of the body. And there's a proposal right now. We touched on it briefly, I think, last week. There's a proposal right now for some of the high crime areas in our state to have to face the potential for state takeover of their law enforcement. And you know, there's so many questions now about how this would work. And I thought, you know, what better thing to do than to get one of the more conservative members of the body on the line with us and break this thing down a little bit? And do you think it would even pass if it came to the floor of the House or the Senate? So without further ado, let me go to the phones right now. State Senator Sam Gavan. Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but now I guess it's pretty where you are, but lightning just struck outside my office.
Oh.
Downtown Huntsville's got a big storm cloud over right now.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, just don't be walking with an umbrella right now, apparently. Well, hey, so listen, man. So I've talked to some other legislators. There's a mixed bag of feelings about this. And crazy thing is, one of the most liberal activist Democrats we have in the state House is Wandling Gavan. And she's intimated that she's even like somewhat in favor of this idea of the state intervening when law enforcement's screwing up locally. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I think from her perspective is that she's just watching a lot of death occur in her community and trying to figure out what can be done to change something, because Birmingham doesn't seem to be handling it very effectively. And that's a terrible tragedy. You know, so many times I've seen the mayor of Birmingham and the mayor of Montgomery, which is where really this is occurring, these issues are occurring for the most part, you know, blaming the legislature for the laws we passed. Well, yeah. You know, it's not happening in Albertville and, you know, Gadsden and Huntsville and, you know, on down the line, Auburn and Tuscaloosa. Now, you know, I mean, I'm not suggesting there's not crime, and a lot of it is unfortunately drug related, from what I've been told. I mean, I think when we have things happen up here, it's what I've been told is mostly drug dealers killing drug dealers. But you know, one of the tragedies of all that too is, and we see it so much in Birmingham with so many people living in close proximity, is a stray gunfire, you know, killing children and yeah. You know, I mean, child, you know, laying in his bed. You know, getting killed. I mean, it's just some horrible stories there. And, you know, we've gone through this whole drama, and I think we're going to be reliving that a little bit with our vice president candidate being reminded about some of the positions she took in the past about defunding the police. But, you know, we went through all this defund the police, and where police were getting discouraged, police are not, you know, from what I'm hearing, they're not feeling supported.
Right.
And therefore, they're, you know, they're resigning, they're transferring. You know, we had a lot of, you know, there were cities like Huntsville and others that said, hey, you know, we got your back, and that needed police officers, trained police officers. And, you know, we're looking at some of these blue cities and other states, particularly when people were leaving them, law enforcement wanting to pick them up in our community. But there was a lot of issues there, but I just don't know. Jumping back to the actual legislation that's been proposed, which I hadn't read, but my understanding is that if certain metrics were met, then the Attorney General and the governor in some combination could install a police chief there, a new police chief. But one of the metrics is that the local communities let their police force fall below a certain threshold.
Yeah.
And, you know, so who is going to always determine, who determines the threshold? Does the city get to determine the threshold? Or is there going to be an objective metric there that we can look at?
Well, let me ask you this too, Sam. Let me just kind of break in, because sometimes I have to, when I've got a gray area, and I know you do this, I have to step back to the principles. All right, what are my principles? And one of my principles is limited government. So is this an ideal that steps into the idea of, you know, keeping the public safe, or is it a big government intervention? And so that's the wrestling match in my mind for this right now. What do you think?
I think in the details it is a big government deal, because we're going to have to get in and we'd have to legislate a lot of issues. But on, you know, in terms of, well, we'd be putting in one police officer, you know, that would be chief, and kind of taking over the department, I guess, through the chief. I don't know that that's such a big overstep. And there's a couple of things that I would look at and say, yeah, we did this. We did this from the state level, and, you know, but, and I'm willing to do this, but my hypocrisy only goes so far. I mean, for instance, we outlawed any city from imposing a income tax that didn't already have one.
Right.
And then Senator Jones has been trying to back down, and I think he's been running into some buzzsaws about trying to back down the income taxes that are out there by certain municipalities. And then when you were in the legislature, you know, Birmingham was prohibited from coming up with its own minimum wage.
Minimum
I mean, there are certain
tax.
Things
yeah.
That I have supported the, you know, intervention and saying, you know, well, cities, y'all can't do this, or you can't do it anymore. You know, we put clamps through Senator Elliott's legislation on what police jurisdictions were going to look like, because that, you know, was a sort of a taxation without representation issue. And I think some good things, you know, came out of that, and some you know, it was a good reform. So the legislature does step in from time to time. And of course, I would argue that that's a, you know, that's a smaller government thing, not a big government thing. It just happened to be we were the ones to lay the hammer on them. But
so let me ask you this: the logistics of it. I mean, there's got to be an exploration of. All right. So first of all, I would say this: if you had a manning issue, but all you do is bring in a new chief. Are you going to have to bring in the National Guard then to augment the ranks? I mean, I don't get how they're going to do that.
And that's where the funding comes in. The chief wants to hire a new, you know, send a new class through the academy. Where does he get the money to do that? The chief doesn't have the power to do that.
Yeah.
The, you know, the purse strings are controlled, basically ultimately through the council, and with the involvement of the administration. So I'm just not sure how this stuff goes into play, because if there is a, and also if the guys and gals on the street don't support this, then it just seems like a really big mess that you may go in the wrong direction in terms of your force numbers.
Well, I think,
you know,
I think
perhaps the, all this was to encourage some good behavior, which I have seen some encouraging news out of Montgomery, which involved the state, but it was a joint voluntary program. Where the state is, as I understand it, is trying to ALEA is trying to alleviate some of the traffic issues that Montgomery Police have. So Montgomery Police Department people and sheriffs, Montgomery sheriffs, can go out and actually arrest some of these bad folks that, you know, they need to run down on arrest warrants.
Well, I guess the bottom line for me is. There's not been a clear definitive plan. The concept appears to be go ye therefore and step in where the locals are not getting it done. But that also seems to imply that big government knows best. And I get it. You're right. I totally agree that there are times when we saw, like, you know the deal. How many times, man, when local legislation comes up and one of them says Jefferson County, we all go, oh, God, what's that? Because
yeah.
You never
mm-hmm.
know what's going to come out of some of the more liberal side or portions of our state. But I also look at this and go, okay, at what point, if we don't have bright line metrics and if we don't have a clear, you know, a statement of the milestones that would be accomplished, at which point the state would pull back out, then you could have a rogue governor coming in and saying, well, I never liked that mayor from Auburn. I'm going to go ahead and declare him a problem and take over his law enforcement. I mean, you could see where this could be a problem if you didn't have the right people in office to govern it.
I agree with that. And, you know, you get back down to all politics is local, and I don't think our community is interested in this. I mean,
no.
Most people here don't go to Montgomery. They don't go to Birmingham that much. I mean, I go through Birmingham all the time. Obviously, I go to Montgomery quite a bit. But and so I am concerned about the safety of those cities But I just don't know that we're at a point that we can go in and do a one-size-fits-all bill.
Yeah, we don't have the Phoenix City disaster going on again, right? You know about the Phoenix City story, the Phoenix City disturbance from the 1950s or 60s?
Well, I know about what happened to Patterson's father.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That they did go in there and I think literally went in with the National Guard.
They did.
It
was epic in scale, and Alabama is now the legend still being studied on issues of posse comitatus and whether or not military law can apply.
So it's good. I'm not feeling a big drumbeat. I do know. I mean, look, I try to support my friends when I can, and Marfoot is obviously a dear friend. I'm not sure how much support there is behind this, but I do. You've been there, you've endured it. I've endured it for 6 years. But do you think Senator Smitherman is going to sit there and go quietly into the night on this one? I mean, I don't.
No.
I mean, I think he's going to lock down, and I just don't see this being something. When my impression is, a lot of the Big Ten mayors are probably going to oppose this. I just think the votes would be there to overcome the cloture vote.
I think in its current position, you're exactly right. I think there'd have to be quite the PR campaign to bring this into a position where we could actually see it come to fruition on the floor of the House or the Senate. And the Big Ten, you're right, the League of Municipalities, the County Commission Association, they're going to be all against this because it's not going to be just a city. It's going to wind up being, what if the entire county is a problem and then they take over the sheriff's department? They're not going to be able to claim just municipalities and not have county governments also face issues. Well, listen, my friend, once again, you guys have yeoman's work to do, but I appreciate knowing there's folks like you in there, so thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it, Phil.
All right, take care now. That's State Senator Sam Gavan calling in from Huntsville. And yeah, I mean, it's a dicey issue. Look, we're going to take a break right now. I'm going to come back, and we're going to take this a step further. I'm going to remind you guys about the legend of the Phoenix City disturbance. Oh, my gosh, this is a story. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Putting all the truth out there you can sling onto a bumper sticker. So let me just tell you a story for a minute. So we're doing this dipper right now I call Crime Busters. And I led off the whole discussion here with the question of whether or not legislation being proposed right now in the Alabama legislature for the state to intervene in a local government's inability to properly enforce crime, is that a good idea? Do you want to see the state swoop in and tell a local mayor and council or a county government that, you know what, we can do a better job than you, so you're on probation now and we're here to fix things? Well, that's a big government problem, right? That's the kind of thing where you look at and go, okay, home rule means nothing at that point. But Alabama is the state in this nation that has the history of this. The history. If you're not familiar with the story about Phoenix City, Alabama, and by the way, for those of you that aren't familiar, Phoenix is spelled P-H-E-N-I-X. Phoenix City, Alabama, down yonder by Auburn, near the Georgia line. Phoenix City. There's movies that have been made about what is known as the Phoenix City story. Phoenix City, Alabama, 1954, was the place where the actual term Sin City, USA originated. It wasn't Las Vegas. It was Phoenix City, Alabama. Sin City, USA. It was so bad in Phoenix City that apparently George Patton was actually a commander there at Fort Benning prior to World War II. He said that he'd just soon go ahead and take his tanks and flatten Phoenix City, Alabama, because he had so many of his soldiers that got beat up or robbed or had their money swindled out of their pockets on the weekends during when they had liberty. So Phoenix City, Alabama, really? Yeah. It got so bad. The town was so corrupt the leadership of the town, the law enforcement of the town, was so corrupt that it became notorious, and yet there was a kind of a wink and a nod from Montgomery. They never did anything. They weren't, you know, probably on the take, to be honest with you. And then came Albert Patterson. Albert Patterson, a man from Phoenix City who was one of the few citizens who was sick of seeing his city be something like Boss Hogg and his strong arm tactics. It was awful, y'all. So Albert Patterson decided he was going to run for Attorney General of the state of Alabama. And he ran on a platform in 1954 of reforming the city. And he won the Democrat nomination, which back in that day pretty much assured that he was going to be the next Attorney General. And after he had won the Democrat nomination in 1954, he was assassinated outside of his office, his law firm, on, I think it was, I'm looking at the book right now, it was on Fifth Avenue in Phoenix City. Albert Patterson, pretty much the presumptive next Attorney General for the state of Alabama, was killed by the corrupt forces who did not want Sin City, USA to be ripped. They were so brazen at this point that they believed they could get away with that. At that point, there was a clamor. People all over the state had voted for Albert Patterson. They liked his, I'm from the corrupt city, but I'm going to fix this. And then I'm coming for the rest of the cities. Well, he was assassinated, and so what happened? The governor of the state of Alabama called up the National Guard, and Major General Crack Hanna, what a nickname, Crack Hanna, a World War II hero. He was put in charge of the operation to go in and take over Phoenix City, and they did in 1954. They took over Phoenix City, Alabama. They set up martial law. They deposed the entire city government and all the law enforcement. There are still cases on file right now where you can see people appealing their criminal convictions because they were convicted under martial law with a military tribunal. Listen, y'all, Sin City, USA, Phoenix City, Alabama, posse comitatus, martial law, and it all happened right here in Alabama. Do we have to step in? Well, they had to then. They assassinated the next Attorney General of the state of Alabama. What's the bright line? It's a big deal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state. I say it and I mean it. The most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, it's almost go-home time now for a lot of y'all. And as you're thinking about things, let me give you something else to think about and maybe something free. So over the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors on the show here. Inspire Advisors is their name. Inspire Advisors. Look, did you know that some of the things that you might be investing in as you try to build your portfolio and save for retirement, the things you might be investing in could simply not be aligned with your biblical values? Like, there's companies out there that you might be investing in that you have no idea they support abortion, pornography, even human trafficking. Well, let me just suggest this to you. Maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. They are specialists in what is known as biblically responsible investing. I mean, they'll work on your bottom line, absolutely. They know what they're doing. They'll grow that. But they'll also do it in a way that makes you proud of what you're investing in. And listen, I'll be honest with you. This is a real thing. They call it Biblically Responsible Investing, or BRI. So if you'd like to have a real sit-down meeting with the folks at Inspire Advisors, they can do that. They'll meet with you, no cost, no catch, no upsell. They'll just literally sit down and give you a free consultation and tell you what they see and maybe even give you some biblically aligned alternatives to work with. Yeah, Inspire Advisors. If you want to check them out, and I encourage you, please check them out. If you want to check them out, go to their website. It's moneypatternwealth.com. www.moneypatternwealth.com, or you can just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to our Right Side Radio Sponsors tab. Click on it. Takes you right to their logo, and you can go right to their website from there. So, yeah, Inspire Advisors. Y'all, it's conservative. It's godly. It's balanced. It's financial freedom, to be honest. Inspire Advisors. Check them out. I'm back on this last dipper of the day. I just gave you the story of the Phoenix City you know, events, the disturbance, the National Guard taking over the entire city, deposing the leadership, intervening on law enforcement. There were members of law enforcement who were arrested. The investigation of the murder of Albert Patterson was a combination of state and military. There are people who are still on record as having appealed their convictions for crimes because they were done by military tribunal and not by standard courts of law. The judges were not used. They had to basically axe everything and clean up that city. And I want to say for the better part of a year, the National Guard was in charge of Phenix City, Alabama. Do you want that? Is that a bigger, more drastic view of where we're going here? We've got this bill that's being floated right now where the state of Alabama would intervene when local governments are not doing their job on law enforcement. I got a piece here from Seattle. Seattle? Yeah, go with me here. I got a piece from Seattle. Dateline yesterday. Seattle business owners warn that violent crime is happening on a near hourly basis, saying this is madness. Seattle residents and business owners are voicing their concerns about crime, which is perpetrated nearly hourly, and saying people who commit assaults reemerge after their arrest to cause even further chaos. They're talking about all the horror stories of things they're seeing. Y'all, people will flee a downtown. They will. They'll stop. They'll quit opening their businesses there. They'll close down the ones they have. They'll stop making their employees come into the office. They'll just basically say, enough of this. And they'll move to a place where they can be, A, appreciated, and B, protected. In this story about Seattle, you've got people talking about how there's property damage constantly, setting garbage trucks on fire in front of their offices. Commercial real estate broker Tom Graff said the current approach to crime is not working, it's not sustainable. The interim police chief named Sue Rahr told Fox News the department has lost 400 officers, and anticipates their staffing is going to remain below what is needed for the next 2 to 3 years. Saying, I think we got to get back to fighting crime. We got off track over the last couple of years. You think? So that's Seattle. But what's happening in Birmingham? I mean, are they getting it done? Story here from AL.com 2 days ago. Man shot to death while sitting in his vehicle in parking lot south of Birmingham apartment, in South Birmingham apartment complex. The shootings in, I'm not even dealing with Montgomery right now. The shootings in Birmingham have been running at peak numbers for a while now. It says Birmingham police on Saturday identified the victim as a guy named Rico Dwayne Stevenson. He was 30 years old. In all of Jefferson County, there have been 117 homicides this year alone. 93 in Birmingham. So this guy Stevenson was the 93rd homicide this year. Just the week before. About 10 days before. Authorities said that 4 people had died in a shooting at a Birmingham nightclub late Saturday of that week. This is July, it's about 2 weeks prior, 14th. An earlier shooting the same day outside of a home had killed 3 other people, including a young child. Police say the nightclub shooting, 1 man was found dead on the sidewalk, 2 women were killed inside, a 2nd man was pronounced dead at the hospital, 9 additional victims were being treated. You had 7 people killed, 9 injured in fatal gunshot wounds or in gunshot wounds in 1 day in Birmingham. Y'all, in my time in Baghdad, we didn't see numbers like that on a daily basis. And yet, here we have right there 2 stories. Just in the month of July, we're looking at, 8 dead and at least 7 more wounded. Story here from AL.com came out earlier this month. At the close of June, they began to tally the numbers. AL.com reports that there were 75 homicides at that time. Of course, now we're up. There were 75 homicides in that time from January through June. A 10% increase over the same time last year. 10% over last year, which is more than a 15% increase overall. In all of Jefferson County, there have been 98 killings as of July 1st. The city ended the year 2023 with 135 homicides, which was actually a 6% decrease over the year prior because in 2022, they broke a record. It was the deadliest year in Birmingham history in 2022. 144 homicides in the year 2022. Down to 135 in the year 2023. And now 2024 has put Birmingham on the list as one of the most dangerous cities in the nation. I am not for, generally speaking, for the idea of the state intervening. I don't believe we're at a Phoenix City level, right? I don't. But I'm looking at story after story here of a city that I love. A city that I spent a lot of my time growing up in. A city where I still have family members. A city that for years was called the Magic City and, in my opinion, is becoming the Tragic City in many ways. Now, is there a lot going for it? Yes. There's an amazing amount going for the city of Birmingham. And they have got to change some leadership. They have got to get the city of Birmingham back on track. And you're not going to do it with failed leadership like Randall Woodfin, who smiles and looks hip but does nothing to make his city a safer place for his residents. He can talk about, you know, being out there and doing things to bring equity and diversity and all that, all he wants to. People want to know, if I walk the streets at night, am I going to get shot? People want to know, if I decide to go ahead and take the risk of opening a business, should I put it in downtown or should I not? And here's the thing. When you start losing your radical Democrats, you know you've got a problem. Story here on 1819 News. State Representative Wanda Lynn Gavan. And by the way, if you don't know her, Wanda Lynn Gavan is a radical. She's a bit of a nut. I have seen her go off on the floor of the House before. I mean, she's an activist. She's an absolute, you know, montage. I mean, every day is a different wig and giant glasses and fashionista. I mean, she considers herself to be all the thing, right? But State Representative Wanda Lynn Gavan, Democrat from Birmingham, story here on 1819 News a couple days ago, has a message for Birmingham city leaders. She says it's not personal, it's just business. She said, "We're in a state of emergency. Birmingham is a disaster zone on any given day because of the crime. It's a great city. It's the magic city. But it is now becoming the city of horrors. And when I say horrors, I mean bodies dropping at any given time and something's got to give." "So we have too many bodies dropping," said Gavan. "It's one body after another. Killing. It's crazy. You can't even go to the store." In her district, she said she's heard from elderly people who are scared to work in their yards. 911 response times are too long. Said she was sickened by what she had seen with her own eyes. She said, "Listen, if you go up 3rd Avenue on Saturday, it's a zoo. People have taken over the street. The exhibition driving's out of hand. I got stuck in one. I've never been so scared in my life." She said a little 16-year-old boy just died a few weeks back. "Listen, why? He went to the store, and he looked at a guy, and the guy was offended, and he left home for only a few minutes, and now he's dead. We had a 5-year-old baby killed. The mother and father also killed. Come on, people," she said. "That was awful." This is Wanda Lynn Gavan, who I don't think I've ever agreed with anything, she said. I gotta tell you, Randall Woodfin, if somebody out there knows you, if Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin is listening right now, you just lost one of your liberal allies who was sick of seeing people die in the streets of your city. It is time to do some policing. We have men and women in blue down yonder in Birmingham who do an amazing work, and they are outnumbered, and they are underappreciated, and you've got an administration right now that makes their job harder, doing things like saying no-knock warrants and flashbangs are no longer allowed. Why? Because they scare the bad guys? Wanda Lynn Gavan says she believes city leaders must get serious about enforcing crime and pursuing justice. Wow. That's a liberal Democrat. I'm talking like a freakishly liberal Democrat. And she says, we got to stop playing with these criminals. We need to call them out for what they are. The article points out that U.S. News and World Report just ranked the city of Birmingham the 4th most dangerous city in the U.S. Y'all, I'm not for big government takeovers. I'm not. I don't like it. I think what's going to wind up having to happen here, though, is the city of Birmingham is going to have a jerk, a knot jerked in his tail. Someone's going to have to get hold of, I don't know, the funding sources that they rely upon for the state of Alabama, something. I don't think we're going to wind up seeing a change, like a deposing, like a Phoenix City I don't think we're going to see that bill pass that I was talking about earlier. I don't think it's going to happen. But y'all, we need Birmingham back. I want Birmingham to be that bright, shiny place where people can go and they see innovations and they see jobs and they see all the things that made it famous and gave it its name, the Magic City, with the growth that was so exponential. I'm just saying, it's a shadow of itself right now compared to where it used to be. And Crime Busters, whew, let's bring the heat, y'all. And here's the other thing. Time to vote out Randall Woodfin. Send him packing. I think he's looking for a jog with Kamala Harris anyway. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take the last break of the day. We'll come right back. I got some text messages to get cleaned up on and see what y'all think about what I've been talking about. You guys call it or text it, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We will be right back. Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I got a bunch of text messages I got to get to. Before I do that, I'll go grab the phones because I think it's Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm north of Nashville, man. I'm doing great.
You're cruising today, man. Did you get stuck some of that rain at all down here in Alabama?
No, I mean, it rained a little bit down there past the 22 there where I fueled up and everything from a little north of the 22 in Tennessee and then run out of it, and then it's been kind of smooth sailing ever since.
Well, good deal. Good deal. Well, what you thinking? Today I've talked about the Olympic mocking of God. I've talked about the border czar, and I've talked about local crime and state intervention. What do you want to chime in on?
Well, let's chime in on local intervention.
All right.
You know, when a person is of diminished mental capacity to take care of themselves or be a danger to themselves and others, we appoint a conservator to them.
Well, you are speaking my language as an attorney who handles probate matters. Yes, go ahead.
Well, there you go. Well, then what we see in Birmingham and these other places and everything is that the people are unable to self-govern. They lack the diminished capacity, I guess, it's a definition of insanity. They keep electing the same leaders, expecting there to be a different outcome and things to get better, and, you know, which it doesn't, because they're just going to keep voting for the same people and everything and never kick anybody out. So they become a danger to themselves and others in the community. So that somebody has to step in, and when somebody is incapable of self-governance,
okay.
They, you know, I hate to say that, but they're unable to govern themselves.
All right, let me. In the conservatorship issue, there's usually like an adjudication of incompetency, or you know, they're like you said, they're a harm to themselves and or others, and someone needs to manage their affairs. But what we're looking at right now is more along the lines of somebody was just doing a really bad job at work, and do we need a conservatorship when they just don't have wisdom? I mean, it's kind of a difference here. Do you really think that we ought to have states come intervene in cities' business because the state decided they didn't police good enough?
Well, by definition, with this many people getting killed, it is a danger to themselves and others.
Okay, fair. Well, you know what? But you're not saying anything radical. I'll be honest. What you're saying right now is exactly what some of these legislators are saying. They're saying we need to intervene because our locals are not getting it done. That's even that liberal Democrat Wandling Gavan that I talked about a moment ago. It's maybe, a conundrum, man.
Maybe the people, when they see what happens whenever competency takes over and runs things for a while and things get better, maybe that will, you know, give them the confidence to vote, you know, and vote for people who's good for them, basically. I'm not saying Republican or Democrat or whatever, but they got to change something the way things are, because it's not changing, you know, it's not changing on the ground.
Okay, that's fair. We'll see where the debate goes. Listen, man, be careful on your last stage of the go-home time, all right?
Thank you, Phil. Have a good one.
All right, see you, bud. All right, let's see here. What I got? I got a bunch of text messages. Let me get a few of them real quick before it's too late. John from Huntsville, by the way, does have the grades in. Do you see it? He says the imaginary bronze medal goes to Phil with an A+. I got a bronze. The imaginary silver medal goes to Sam Gavan with an A++, which means today's gold medal winner is obviously Big Rig. You had no sound effects today. You just got to just enjoy the benefits of. He's still mad that I called him out earlier on that text.
Maybe I don't know. I'm confused. I didn't do anything awesome today. So
I would not say you weren't awesome today. The show is always awesome because you're over there pushing the right buttons. Oh, that's right. He gave you extra credit points for your jackassery sound effect. Oh,
okay. That's what it was. He loves that one.
There you go. And he goes, congratulations. You're currently in the lead of the Right Side Radio Olympics with one imaginary gold medal. Whoop, whoop. All right. Good deal. Thank you, John.
I don't know if I want to be part of the Olympics this year.
Not after what we've seen here lately. Get a few more here. Badger from Athens says, Monday down, one less to Friday. Have a great day, y'all. Thank you, Badger. Appreciate you. Jeremy from Madison says, change the name of Birmingham to Gotham and hire some dude to be Batman. You know what? If that would work, I'd say go for it. Rat from Athens gives me what's he got here? Oh, yeah. He's got the whole thing about, that's right. This is not the Phoenix City one. I've forgotten about this. This is one.
Battle of Athens.
Yeah, the Battle of Athens, which is another story. I probably need to chase that down and do a monologue on it. Thanks, Rap. Robert from Hazel Green says, I say let Birmingham Montgomery rot. They'll decide when enough's enough. No, dude, I want my Birmingham back. I just do. Anyway. And then Steve from Huntsville says, is Phoenix City where Walking Tall came from? Nope, that was not. That was Buford Pusser, and that was somewhere else. All right. Great day. Goodness coming tomorrow. You guys stay tuned. We'll see you then.